Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you that you know our hearts and you know our very thoughts, you know our burdens, and you know the things that we're dealing with, each and every one of us. And God, we thank you that you're a God that loves us, you care for us, you comfort us, you give us assurance and security. And our hope, our trust, our obedience, Lord, is before you this morning. God, bless the reading of your word, we ask, as we look at your precious love toward us. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Please turn into one of the favorite chapters of the Bible, and that's Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we will look towards the end of this great chapter in the Bible at God's everlasting love. It is everlasting. God is an eternal God, and His love is everlasting towards us. It says, beginning in verse 31, explaining God's everlasting eternal love toward us, it says in verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, we got to know what the book of Romans is about, and you got to know what the beginning of chapter 8 is about to fully grasp this statement. But what shall we say to these things? You see, in Romans chapter 7, Paul was in a turmoil. What he wanted to do, he did not do. And the things that he did not want to do, he did. And he did them in his heart. And he says, I stand condemned because of sin in my life. Now, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He kept the law. But he was condemned because of sin. And Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1 says, therefore now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, it's about walking in the Spirit and not walking in the flesh. It's about being filled with Christ Jesus and with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God allows us to be able to call God Abba, Father. It cries in our hearts. The Spirit of God intercedes for you and I. The Spirit of God knows our heart. How would you like to be able this morning to look at every one of us and know what is in each and every one's heart? Not how they're dressed, not what they're saying, not even their actions at this very time or this morning, but to be able to look in each and every one's heart and know what was in each heart, whether it was love or hatred or the love of God or the love of the world, the love of the Father or the love of self. How would you like to, well, God is able to know what's in our hearts. And He knows what we're thinking. And yet, it says, what shall we say to these things? All of creation is crying out for the adoption of the sons of God, it says here in chapter 8. And even we ourselves groan within, waiting to be changed. Doesn't say nothing about speaking in tongues. But it says we're groaning, waiting to be changed someday when Christ returns. The Spirit of God does that in our hearts. And with all of this, and the love of God, what shall we say about these things? If God is for us, everyone say, God is for me. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, your life is immersed in Jesus Christ, God is for you. He was for you before you was for Him. And He said it at the cross. We love God first and foremost because He first loved us. So if God be for us, who can be against us? This is like being in heaven's court this morning. And here is The courtroom session and the minutes of the court is being read. And it says in this court of heaven, in this courtroom, that God is for us, so who can be against us? Can anybody stand against God? No. Everything that comes our way, everything that happens to us, God has to approve of it first. Because in this same chapter, Romans chapter 8, is that verse that God works all things good to those who are called and to those who love God. God is always working good in our lives for our benefit. So who can stand against God? Everyone say nobody. Nobody. Who shall bring a charge, as we read on verse 32? He who did not spare his own son, but God so loved the world, he loved you and I, that he gave the son, but delivered him up for us all. He was delivered up. He was arrested. He was condemned by an unlawful court. And he was delivered up on the cross. He was delivered. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Let's don't misunderstand what this means. This does not say name whatever you want and God is a big Santa Claus up in heaven. And whatever you name, you will receive it if you just have enough faith. Not what it means. Life is hard. Life is tough. Sometimes things does not work out. But I promise you this, that God is for you and he has provided freely salvation by his grace and his mercy. And if you will respond by faith, you will receive his presence. You will receive that Holy Spirit within your heart and life, and you can say daddy to God. It's free. You can't earn it. He'll give it to you if by faith you receive it. Freely give us all things, and it's through Jesus Christ whom he delivered up. So who shall bring a charge, verse 33, against God's elect? Let's be honest. Every one of us in here can be charged with something with the law of God. We've all broken it, haven't we? We are all lawbreakers. None of us can keep the law on our own. The law was our school teacher. It condemns us. So who shall bring a charge against God's elect? We know in scriptures that the devil accuses us. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. So God's elect, God's chosen. Who shall bring a charge? Is it against me and you? I can be charged. I'm found guilty. But I promise you this, my life is in Jesus Christ. And when I'm in Jesus Christ, who is God's elect, God's chosen one, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, my life is hid in Christ, in God, and I am chosen in Jesus Christ. And no one can bring a charge against someone who lived and did not sin. The sinless Lamb of God, and my life is in him, immersed in him, baptized in Jesus Christ, and no one can bring a charge against Jesus. And I'm in him. Sir, ma'am, if you're not in Christ Jesus, you're guilty. Guilty. In the court of room of heaven. But because of God's love, no one can bring a charge against God's elect, against Jesus Christ. And when we're by faith in Jesus Christ, we're also chargeless in the courtroom of God because of God's elect. And it says, it is God who justifies, it is God who makes you right. Christ did it at the cross. Verse 34, who is he who condemns? Who is guilty? The law says we're guilty, but Romans chapter 8, verse 1, turn with me there if you're not, can't read it. Look at it. Read it with me. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are what? In Christ Jesus. In God's elect. The anointed one of God, the Messiah. No condemnation. Isn't that good news? God's law, God's love has provided that for you and me. So no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It is Christ who died back in verse 34. And furthermore has also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. In Hebrews, that explains the new covenant, how Christ died once for sin and offered it up in the heavenly tabernacle. And not only that, now he is our high priest. And he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Why? Because he became one of us. He intercedes for us. Not only do we have his spirit in our hearts and lives interceding for us, but the Son of God is at the right hand, which is a metaphor. God is a spirit, but the right hand means he has all authority and all power. And he's interceding for us because he loves us. He loves us. Verse 35. Another question is asked. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Separate. Separation. As a young child, I didn't find this out till I was actually in a master's program and speaking of childhood ministry and teenage ministry. Well, anyway, I learned in that class, thinking back as I was growing up, I had separation anxiety as a child. I was a mama's boy. You want to know what a mama's boy looks like? I'm one of them. And the cause of this was my daddy was sent to Vietnam when I was 3 years old. And my daddy was gone. Well, I was older enough to know my daddy, but younger enough to really need my parents. And I had separation anxiety. So when I was separated, Daddy came home, landed at England Air Force Base, and we were just me and my mama and brothers and sister was there. No one else was there. But anyway, he was there. He came home, but I could not be separated from my mama or I would throw a fit. Finally, in the fourth grade, I stopped. But it's called separation anxiety. Believe me, I'm okay now. I kind of like being by myself sometimes. But it's called separation anxiety. And when we relate to God, our relationship with Him, and His love that is so big and so awesome, we can't describe how much God really loves you and I. And if we go to hell, He will be just to send us to hell. Because He's provided every way, which way possible for us to receive His love. But there's no separation. David said, if I go to the highest heaven or to the lowest hell, which means death in that context, still, God's love is there. God's love is there. No separation anxiety. And let me say this. If you're experiencing anxiety with God's love, it's called conviction. God the Father disciplines those whom he loves. And most time, conviction will take care of it. If you're a child of God, you will repent, turn to him, confess. So that causes anxiety when you don't repent. Has nothing to do with being separated from God, but he's convicting you. Repent. Repent. So, who shall separate us from this great love of God? Nothing. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter? Nay, or yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, being in Christ, immersed in him. We're conquering sheep. Conquering sheep. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, or I'm convinced, listen to this, nothing, I'm a Sergeant Schultz, nothing will separate us from the Lord.
Oh, I see nothing. I was not here. I did not even get up this morning.
Remember Sergeant Schultz? Nothing. Nothing. Folks, nothing will separate you from the love of God. For I am convinced, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, you think of the mighty angels of God, not even they, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come tomorrow, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful passage of Scripture. Remember 9/11? President George Bush, the president at the time, quoted this passage of Scripture, but he left out the most important part. He said, he quoted it and ended it from the love of God, but I want to tell you this, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord is the key to it all. You got to be in Christ Jesus. Your faith must be in Jesus Christ. Your life must be in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when you're in Christ Jesus, nothing will separate you from the love of God. Now, that's God's love. Where's your love? We studied the Ten Commandments in Sunday school in most classes. First half of those is our love for God, and the second half is our love for one another. You see, that's the two greatest commandments. Where's your love at? Alicia, would you come help me? I've asked my beautiful wife to help me. Now, here's me and my wife. We love one another. And we have Christ. Imagine Jesus Christ in the center. And we're together. Okay? Now, all of a sudden we have a child. And we put that child in the center. We're still connected. Then we have another child. Then another child, and see, all of our children is in the center. All the things that they like to do and want to do and want to go here and want to go there. And if you don't have a child today, you don't know what I'm talking about, but it's like that, isn't it? And all of a sudden, my wife and I, who are my love, is separated. And all this is in the center. And it don't have to be your child. Or your grandkids, it could be whatever you have the center of your life besides Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, you're separated. Maybe you're not married and this is your church family, you see. My wife, we are the bride of Christ, by the way. And we put something in the center and all of a sudden, whatever's in that center has separated us from our church family and separated, and that's what we evolve around our life. And God's love is here, all around you. And our worship together is an outflow of our love towards Him. Did you know that? So, you may be seated. But what's in the center? God loves you. God loves you. Have you allowed something to remove yourself, your love for Him? Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. You shall not make an image and bow yourself down to that image. And you should keep the Lord's day and keep it holy. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Facebook and the God of Facebook is not the God of the Bible. It will never take the place of the God of the Bible. All those other gods that has taken center place is not your God. Where's your love at this morning? Where's it at? Because I promise you, even your children will get you separated. Christ has to be the center. It has to be in a family and in the church. Not the youth ministry the center, not the children's ministry, not a family life center the center of it. It has to be Jesus. And for your life not to be in turmoil and full of anxiety, Christ has to be the center of it. God loves you. I promise you He does. Nothing will separate you from that love. But I promise you this. You can allow other loves to take His place in your heart. God knows your heart this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we do again thank You for Your awesome love. Lord, we're unworthy. We are absolutely unworthy of Your love. And yet You freely give it to us. Thank You. Thank You for Your forgiveness. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You for even Your conviction. Your chastening. Thank You. Thank You for experiencing Your love. Thank You. Lord, please, the ones who don't know You personally, please woo their hearts. And may the child of God that has wandered away, You're the good shepherd that will leave the 99 to bring back that one because of Your love. Bring them back. In Jesus' name, amen. Please.